It's always a joy to have behind these microphones with me Dr. John Whitcomb, longtime friend of us here on Prophecy Today, outstanding theologian, great teacher of the Word of God. He has been a seminary professor. He is now traveling, doing itinerant ministry, and in much demand across this world. We're just thrilled we could catch up with him for a few moments. He's written a number of books, The Genesis Flood, probably the best known of all the books that he has written. And with an extensive background as a student and a teacher of the Word of God, it's just neat to be able to interact with John. John, thank you for being available for us today.
A great privilege, Jimmy. Thank you.
I want to ask you about replacement theology, because that terminology is coming up, and many people have been sending me emails. What are we talking about? We'll get to that in a moment. But first, a couple of things of reports coming to us on the BBC mostly, but other news gathering organizations as well, talking about exploding stars, and one astronomer saying there's at least 150 Earth-sized planets out there, maybe even thousands. Now, is this simply the astronomers, the scientists discovering these things? There's not a continuation of planets coming into existence as we understand the Word of God. Is that correct, or what are your thoughts on this?
That's right. We are now developing all kinds of telescopes and electronic machines to discover, analyze other planets circling other stars within our own galaxy, the Milky Way. Now, this is described in detail in National Geographic last December 2009 in a lead article called "Are We Alone? Searching the Heavens for Another Earth." The sad part of the article, of course, is even though they've discovered hundreds of planets, none of them that we've ever discovered could possibly be inhabited. They're too big, too hot, sort of gas planets like Jupiter, etc. But even if they discover something exactly the same size as planet Earth out there somewhere, there's nobody there. Why not? Because God told us 2,700 years ago in Isaiah 45:18, "For thus says the Lord, who created the heavens, who is God, who formed the earth and made it, who has established it," now listen, "who did not create it," that's the earth, "empty, to be empty. He formed it to be inhabited. He formed it to be inhabited." That's the amazing truth, that of all the planets in the universe, circling stars out there somewhere, including the other eight planets, big ones of our solar system, there's nobody on any of them. Why not? He uniquely created planet Earth to be inhabitable. And you have to have two things, of course, to have an inhabited Earth. An inhabited planet. What are they? Number one, it has to be inhabitable, and none others are. Number two, you have to have inhabitants to inhabit an inhabitable Earth. And God says, trust me, this is the only planet, and I can prove it to you, Jimmy. This is the planet Jesus came to. He bypassed all the other planets in the universe and in our solar system and came exclusively, totally, completely to this planet Earth to become a permanent member of the human race, because he created humans uniquely to bear his image and likeness. And what a marvelous act of mercy and grace. That's why he created planet Earth first, Jimmy, at the beginning of day one, and the other planets not until the fourth day. The Earth is unique, it's very, very special, and God says, trust me, you're not alone. I'm there, I've been there, I'm in charge, I'm talking to you by my Spirit through my Word. Don't feel lonely. Don't write articles saying, "Are we alone?"
Oh, boy. I am so always excited to hear the response to the questions I ask Dr. John Whitcomb, because I like to learn myself, and I'm sure those of you eavesdropping on the conversation have learned so very much yourself. It's good to hear what the Word of God has to say and to respond to these so-called ideas of what is going on. We have an absolute. We need to go to that. Well, in fact, in light of that, let's then get into the other question I wanted to ask you, John. This is about replacement theology. First of all, explain replacement theology, and then is it dangerous? Talk to me about that.
Yes, replacement theology, Jimmy, means that many, many so-called Christians in the Roman Catholic Church, the Anglican Church, Greek Orthodox, Russian Orthodox, Liberal, Protestant, and it's sad to say some evangelical churches, Jimmy, are saying that God has permanently replaced Israel with the church, that Israel deserved to be totally and forever cut off from God's mercies and God's plans to be his representative chosen people because they crucified Jesus. Absolutely true. Israel doesn't deserve any kingdom or to be reestablished. Well, for that matter, the church has failed too. We don't talk about what we earn or deserve. It's the mercy of God dependent upon his promises, his covenant commitments. Now, of course, in Romans 11, he did point out that Israel's blindness to the things of God is partial and it's temporary. Blindness in part has happened to Israel. Some Jews, of course, believed, asked the Apostle Paul about that, and many thousands believe him today. Until, what? The fullness of the Gentiles has come in, and so all Israel will be what? Will be saved. And quotes from Isaiah chapter 59 and Isaiah 27. So, of course, God knew, and God's people knew, that God is not through with Israel. He is someday going to restore that nation. In fact, here's what Jesus said about it when he came down from the Mount of Transfiguration in Matthew 17. There Elijah stood with him and Moses, forerunners, of course, of the second coming, just like John the Baptist was a forerunner of Jesus' first coming. So that was a preview, a visual aid of how things are going to happen at the second coming of Christ in glory. When they came down from the mount, they asked the Lord, why do the scribes say Elijah must come first? And Jesus answered, this is Matthew 17:11. Listen carefully. Indeed, Elijah is coming first and will restore all things. Now, of course, John the Baptist would have been Elijah if they had received him, which they didn't. They had a choice, and they chose against John's announcement of Jesus as Messiah and the need for repentance to enter the kingdom, and it has been postponed these 2,000 years, but it will be established when? Well, the last verse of the Old Testament that Jesus was referring to tells us this way, just Moses and Elijah again are the final words, in the final words of Malachi 4. Listen, remember the law of Moses, my servant, which I commanded him in Horeb, and behold, I send you Elijah, the prophet, before the great and dreadful day of the Lord. And he will what? Here it is, Jimmy. He will turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the hearts of the children to their fathers, lest I come and strike the earth with a curse. Kerem, the last word of the Hebrew Old Testament. Now here's the point. There'll be revival in Israel, starting in homes, parents, children, parents. That's where revival begins, in the heart of the individual and in the hearts of families. And the whole nation then will be saved through the preaching of Elijah, and I believe Moses, the other of the two witnesses, will come and restore the nation to God, and he will choose from that nation of regenerated Jews, 144,000 witnesses, 12,000 from each tribe, to evangelize the whole human race. And Jesus said, this gospel of the kingdom must be proclaimed to all nations, and then shall the end come. Matthew 24. So I say, thank you, God. We haven't given up on you, your promises. We have therefore not given up on Israel. We thank you for your precious word that tells us of amazing things are going to happen. You haven't replaced Israel, and you're going to do great things someday after the church is raptured and glorified. Israel again will function as God's unique instrument for world evangelism and teaching and worship on this planet.
Wow. Do you feel like you've been sitting there in a seminary class, folks, eavesdropping on this conversation? Indeed, the professor has taught us today. And replacement theology certainly does not go along with God's word, nor God's plan for the Christian and, indeed, the Jewish people. Dr. Wickham, it's always a joy to talk with you. I'm so thrilled that we can catch you once in a while and have you on the broadcast. Thank you for being available. Thank you for the insight that you have given us today. And we'll look forward to another conversation down the road sometime.
God bless, Jimmy. May the Lord be with you all.